Blog Talk Radio.
I had to ask Melvin and Doug Williams to stop by.
Ooh-wee.
To remind us that there's purpose in our pain. It may not look good right now. Don't worry.
Oh, wow.
Today I've been thinking about you and all the things you go through. Your mother, the cancer, the problems at home.
Sorry,
I wish I could be so strong.
Oh.
I hurt when you hurt, I cry when you cry.
Yes,
even the deep ones sometimes wonder, why am I going through? I'm waiting but still know you.
He is the only hope I have.
He's been
thank you.
You're listening to the Spirit Alive Ministries Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. Hallelujah. I am your sister, Apostle, a.k.a. Bishop Shalene Cook, and I want to welcome you to Taking It to the Streets for this Monday, April the 4th, 2022. Hallelujah. And as always, we begin each and every program with a word of prayer. So won't you bow your hearts with me as we go to the Lord. Most gracious and Heavenly Father, we come now before your throne of grace, just thanking you for this time and this opportunity to go out over your airwaves to bless your people. I want to thank you, Father God, for Apostle Zeta and for Pastor Lori. I want to thank you, Father God, for all of our listeners here tonight. And I pray, Lord God, that they will hear something that would bless them, encourage them, equip them, Lord. And if somebody doesn't know you in the pardon of their sin, I pray that they would make tonight the night that they change their eternal address. So, Lord, we just come giving you all the honor and the glory and the praise. In Jesus' holy and righteous name we do pray. Amen. All right, my brothers and sisters, tonight's program is quite simple. God is still in control. As I look around the world today and I hear Christians, I really just felt the need to come and remind you all tonight that God is still in control. So are you anxious about today? Are you more than a little concerned about tomorrow? Maybe you have fear about your health, fear about your finances, or fear about your future. Well, I came to tell some and remind others that if your life is in Jesus Christ, then you don't have anything to worry about, because God is still in absolute control every day, all day, all the time, and he will take care of you. God is in absolute control over your life. God has a plan for your life. As he declared and decreed in Jeremiah 29:11, where he said, writes, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Hallelujah. God is always in absolute control, even when we fail. Because Psalms 47:8 says, God reigns over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne. And Isaiah 41:10-11 declares, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish." God uses people and situations for our good. Even when people are working against you, God is still working it out for your good. For Romans 8:28 declares, "And we know that all things work together for good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." And I need you to know that our future will always be glorious. Job 8:7 declares, "Your beginnings will seem humble, so prosperous will your future be." Now, as we have come to the Easter month, I want you to see the final days of our Lord Jesus Christ. We see that God the Father was in absolute control over everything surrounding his son Jesus. Acts 2:23 says, "This man Jesus," hallelujah, one moment, please, excuse me. "This man Jesus, delivered over by predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God," hallelujah, it says, I lost my place. "Oh, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to the cross." That's what it says. And Revelation 13:8 says, "The lamb that was slain from the creation of the world," the plan for the death of Christ was pre-creation. See, you need to understand something. Many times the enemy tried to kill Jesus, but they were never able to kill him. You see, Herod wanted to kill Jesus while he was yet an infant, but he couldn't do it. Very early in his ministry in Nazareth in Luke 4, Jesus went into the synagogue to preach, and the people in his hometown tried to throw him off a cliff. but he passed out of their midst, and they didn't even know it. On another occasion, as recorded in John 5, he went to the pool of Bethesda near Jerusalem, and he healed a crippled man. The Jewish leaders sought to kill him because he was breaking the Sabbath, but they were unable to do it. But when the time had come, Jesus came to Jerusalem, and God used everyone around Jesus to prepare him for his death. God used, here are some people that God used to prepare Jesus for the cross. He used the chief priest and the scribes. Mark 14, 1 and 2 declares, "Now the Passover and the Feast of the Unleavened Bread were only 2 days away." Now this was on a Wednesday. "It was the will of God that in A.D. 30 Passover, at the very hour when the lambs were slain, that Jesus would die. And the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some sly way to arrest Jesus and kill him. But not during the feast," they said. God's purpose was to have the Lord Jesus eat the Passover with his disciples on Thursday night. Hallelujah. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. The leaders were seeking how to, you know, they were trying to figure out how to seize him and kill him. For they were saying, not during the festival, not during the festival, otherwise there might be a riot of the people. So what's the one time they didn't want to kill him? During the Passover, during this period. They did not want to arrest Jesus in public. So they wanted to hold him over until the unleavened bread feast was over and the crowds had gone. Hallelujah. But God moved them so fast that they arrested him on a Thursday night and they crucified Jesus on Friday at noon. Why? Mm-hmm. Because God was in absolute control. He used a woman with the alabaster box. Mark 14 and 3 says, "While he was still in Bethany, reclining at the table of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head." Mark 14 and 8 declares and decrees, "She poured perfume on my body beforehand and to prepare for my burial." Here is a woman who is a true worshiper of Christ. God gave her a role in Christ's death by anointing Jesus for his burial, even before his death. God used Judas Iscariot. Mark 14:11 says, "Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray Jesus to them." You see, Satan never wanted Jesus dead in God's time. Then the question is, why did Satan move on Judas to betray Jesus? Well, the answer was pretty simple. If he could get Judas to betray Jesus and he could get the Sanhedrin to move fast, okay, and arrest Jesus, the crowd would rise up and stop the crucifixion. Mm-hmm. That's what Judas feared. That's what the leaders feared. But that's what Satan wanted. You see, he had no desire to see Jesus on the cross. He wanted to create this scenario which would halt Jesus going to the cross. So he moves into Jesus. But see, God used that betrayal to arrest and crucify Jesus as a substitute Passover lamb. God was in absolute control even over the enemy. You need to hear this tonight. God used his disciples. Mark 14 and 12 says, "On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, customary to sacrifice a Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples ask him, 'Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?' So on Thursday, Jesus celebrated the Passover with his disciples. There were actually two different evenings when the Passover was celebrated. You see, the northern people in Galilee celebrated it on Thursday evening, while the Judeans, the people to the south, celebrated on Friday evening. And this is perfect because Jesus could celebrate the last Passover with his friends in Galilee when they celebrated it on Thursday and still die as the Passover lamb on Friday at the time when the Judeans were slaughtering their lambs for their Passover. Hallelujah. Jesus died in God's perfect timetable. And even though people were against them, God turned it around for his advantage. You see, Jesus Christ was had a plan to die on Friday noon and was buried, and he rose again on the third day. You see, God was in absolute control over every detail of Jesus' life. And God is in control over everything today in our lives. There are many, many things in this world that we have absolutely no control over. We don't have control over the stock market, the economy is in recession, and of course there is global turmoil. Our national debt is through the roof, our Social Security is in jeopardy, and the cost of living is rising, and wages are now stagnant. Health care is either unaffordable, and jobs can be scarce because people are refusing to go back to work after COVID. Mass shootings are they're commonplace, and people are becoming divided. We live in a world filled with trouble, turmoil, difficulty, and uncertainty. It seems that things are bad, and they are getting worse. Now, some of you may be dealing with personal issues. You may have rebellious children, bills that you can't pay, problems at work, marital troubles. Like I said before, health issues, or any host of other situations and problems that consume our lives. And many times, some of us can become blinded by the circumstances, and we often forget who is really in control. And when this happens, doubt enters our mind and fear begins to consume our lives. Now, if that's the case for you, again, I come bearing good news. I want to remind you who is in control. You see, it is not the Republican or the Democratic Party. It's not our governor who is in control. Congress is not in control. The Supreme Court is not in control. The president is not in control. And the United Nations General Assembly is not even in control. You see, God Almighty is still in control. And he has always been in control. You see, when we are tempted by fear, we need to remember our Heavenly Father is the supreme authority. You see, he's omniscient, which means he knows all. He is omnipotent, which means he is all-powerful. He is omnipresent, which means he is everywhere at all times. And he changes not. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 10 and 29? He said, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are more value than many sparrows." Amen.
Yes.
Now, what a comforting promise from our Savior. Now, in the book of Haggai, chapter 2, verses 20 through 23, we come to a passage of Scripture that reminds us just who is in control. You see, God sends Haggai to speak to Zerubbabel and deliver a message of great encouragement. In his message to his servant, we see that God has a sovereign plan. God possesses supreme power, and God, in his infinite wisdom, has selected some very special people. Now I invite you to join me as we examine the abundant evidence that God is still very much in control. The first piece of evidence that proves that God is in control is God's sovereign plan. In 3 verse 20, the word of God says, "And again the word of the Lord came unto Haggai in the 4th and the 20th day of the month, saying, Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah." Sovereignty is defined as supreme power or authority. God is the authority. Is the supreme authority in all of time and all of history. And he is also the supreme authority in our lives. You see, God sent a direct message to his servant Zerubbabel. And remember, at this point, the rebuilding process of the temple was just in its infancy. There were a lot of unknowns. And perhaps Zerubbabel was dealing with some uncertainty concerning the future. He was God's chosen man to lead the rebuilding process. And imagine the great responsibility that rested upon his shoulders. Here God reminds Zerubbabel that ultimately he is in control. And God is still in control today. And he still has a sovereign plan. God has a sovereign plan for this world and for the bride of Christ and for the future and for all of eternity. God has a sovereign plan for his church, and God has a sovereign plan for you as an individual. Zerubbabel was simply a willing vessel that God could use to carry out his sovereign plan. And that is what we must be, willing vessels that God can use to carry out his sovereign plan. A legitimate question would be, how can we know God's sovereign plan for our lives? Well, Zerubbabel learned of the plan through the word of the Lord. Haggai went to him with a direct message from the Father, and we will learn from his plan for us the very same way. We will learn from the pages of his holy word. When we search the scriptures, we will receive a direct message from our heavenly Father. Now, perhaps God has already revealed his plan for your life to you. Maybe the task seems impossible. You look at what he called you to do and you think, there's no way that I'll be able to accomplish this purpose. Hallelujah. But I came to tell you that God is still in control. All you need to simply be is a willing vessel. And also at this time of uncertainty and chaos, the other thing that we need to be doing as children of God is we need to be praying according to his holy word. I hear so many Christians today, every time they see something new on television, instead of saying, Lord Jesus, we come to you in prayer on this situation, or Lord Jesus, step into this situation, we're murmuring and complaining. We're worrying about the cost of things going up. We're worrying about our own livelihoods instead of worrying about the souls of the lost, or instead of worrying about getting our own house in order. Everything that is going on now should not be a surprise. God has forewarned us. We have had warning before destruction. So then why are we now acting surprised when the word of God is coming to fruition? Why are we running around like we don't know what we're doing and we don't know where we're going when God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore? Why do we act like God suddenly just laid down his sovereignty? Why do we act like he just laid down all power and let the devil reign? God will never allow the devil to reign. He is already a defeated foe. It cannot be done. So what makes you think God would allow the devil to reign now? God has a plan, and it all has an appointed time. But no one knows the hour that the Lord will crack the sky. No one knows the hour, the day, the minute that the Lord will come to receive us home. Will you be ready? What will he find you doing? Will he find you diligently serving him, diligently praising him and worshiping him? Will he see you diligently going out trying to reach the lost, or will he find you murmuring and complaining? Will he find you sitting idle and just waiting to see what will happen? God wants us to move and to remember that he's in control. It doesn't matter about the war in the Ukraine, because all the governments sit up on his shoulder, and God hates pride. So if the government sit up on his shoulder and governments are not operating in his modus of operandi, you can best believe that God will take them to task, because he has already declared and decreed that he will line up everything that he has and all that he is against pride. So all these prideful rulers, these rulers serving their own agendas that are not operating the government as God would, God will take them to task. Hallelujah. We don't have to sit up and worry. But, you know, no one can destroy this world but God. No one can take us out but God. We're not going anywhere until he says so. The old enemy tried to change the timeline of Jesus' crucifixion, but he couldn't get that done. Why? He's already a defeated foe. We have to remember, saints of God, people are watching us. And if we as Christians are walking around, if we as Christians are murmuring and complaining and acting as though God is still not on the throne, what do we expect the dying, sin-sick world to do? What do we expect them to say when they see us? When we as Christians act as though we have no hope, when we as Christians act like we have no direction, when we as Christians are acting like our God has suddenly went to sleep, when we serve a God that never sleeps or never slumbers. Where is your faith? Where is our faith? What are we doing to show the Lord that no matter what happens, we understand that he is still in control, and even when we meet opposition, we are still going to do what he has called us to do. I tell you, lions nor tigers nor bears could stop me from preaching the gospel, because that's what I believe, and I know that God has called me to do. I've been doing it for over 30 years, so I'm pretty sure that he called me to do it. So I'm going to live my life serving him. I'm going to live my life carrying out this ministry. I'm going to live my life declaring the gospel. I'm going to live my life praying according to the word. I'm going to live my life doing what God called me to do, because that's what tells God we trust him. That's what tells God we believe him, when we obey him. See, we can't change up the plan just because things look bad. We can't change up our plan just because times get rough. We can't flip the script just because we don't like how it feels. But we must live for Jesus, because and know that God can do what he wants, when he wants, where he wants, the way he wants. And we just need to be a willing vessel. We just need to be a praying vessel. We just need to be declaring vessels. So at this, so I just pray that tonight, I didn't want to be long, but I just wanted to let some of you know that God is still in control. And I just want the people of God to be encouraged and know God has not left us. He hasn't forsaken us. He hasn't you know, he hasn't given up on us. God is still God, and he is still doing everything that he said that he would do. Hallelujah. So I praise God, and I hope you receive something that truly blessed you. Now, at this time, if you have any comments or questions, I'm going to ask that you, if you're in the studio, you press your 1, and I will address you by your area code and the last 4 digits of your phone number. If you are in the chat room, you may start typing now, and I will read your comment, and I will answer your question to the best of my ability. But tonight I have in the house with me we have our very own Apostle Zeta Flowers, and then we have Reverend Lori in the house. And I always like to give servant leaders an opportunity to come on in the room and speak. So Apostle Zeta, if you want to come on in the room and give folks and let people know why you say God is still in control.
Amen. Well, I'm very glad to speak in that because I know he doesn't change. I know he's the same every day. I've had some experiences and some powerful oppositions, many afflictions, and he's always seen me through.
Yes.
He's never failed. And that was one of his promises, is that he would be with us always, and that
yes,
he would never leave us nor forsake us. And
amen,
he truly hasn't. And so that's why I can really stand on his word and know
yes,
that I can declare his word.
Yes.
Because his word works. His word works. I have gone through something just over this weekend, but God was there. It could have been so much worse.
Yes,
but God,
amen.
but God.
Yes,
and then he had people that were willing to help me, you know, to take me to the doctor,
yes,
to whatever, to pray with me. And I thank God for that because, you know, when he says he will never leave us nor forsake us, that's how he does it. He uses his own.
Yes.
And uses us for each other.
Yes.
And I just thank him. I can't thank him enough. No matter what I've gone through, I've come out of it.
Yes, amen.
Even when it seemed like there was no way out, a way was made.
Yes.
All right. I don't want to take up all the time. I could go
on.
Oh,
that's all right. You could just go. You could just keep on going. You know, that was kind of short. You can keep it moving. You can keep it moving a little bit more. Go on and share it because it's in your spirit. Go ahead. Go ahead because you know it's in your spirit, Mother Apostle. Go on. Share, child.
Okay. All right. I'm going to share a little more. It won't be too much longer. But it just seems like, not seems like it. I can depend on God.
Yes,
no matter what
I
have need, no matter what I have need of.
Yes, ma'am.
Some way or another, it's provided.
Yes.
And I thank him. I really thank him for that. I thank him for my life, my very life, because that is, you know. He's the one that brought life. He brought life.
That's right. That's
and
right.
I have it. And at my age, as someone mentioned the other night, I'm in my right mind. Yet in good health. In spite of the attack that came upon me over the weekend. But God.
Yes.
You know.
Ma'am.
We can just depend on it. No matter what the need is, no matter what's going on, no matter who's against you, no matter what, he's God Almighty.
There you go.
All by himself.
There it is. All by himself.
Yes.
He's sovereign. All by himself. Amen.
Yes. We serve a sovereign God. He cares about us. He loves us.
Yes, he does. Come on, Mother.
So, and he promised to take care of us. He said, cast all your cares upon me, for I care for you.
Yes.
And I know he means it.
Hallelujah.
Because he does it.
Hallelujah. Yes, amen.
Oh,
hallelujah.
Oh, my. We serve a great and mighty God. We don't have to fear, you know, because of him. We don't have to fear.
No.
You
and
know,
Mother Apostle, you know, that's true, Mother Apostle, because I'm going to let you come back in. We're going to have a conversation. But, you know, that's true. We don't have to fear. If he tells us, fret not or fear not, 365 times in his holy word, then I would think that he means that. You know, he wants us to be assured, and he assures us over and over and over and over again. You know,
absolutely.
And even though we have those assurances, people who are called by his name are still allowing fear to dictate their lives.
Yes. That is so true.
But when you are like Mother Apostle and you just depend on him and you trust him and you believe him and you simply obey him, then you will be like her and you can, you know, you will be able to say too, you know, no matter what was going on in my life, I can tell you that the Lord came through. No matter how it looked, I can tell you that the Lord came through. And both Mother Apostle and myself, we are not ladies. We are not what you call baby boomers or spring chickens or whatever. We're not old, but we're, you know, we've been doing this for a while. You know, we've been through some things. You know, we've suffered some losses. We've had some setbacks. We've had some, some delays. But all the while, our faith and our trust was in a holy, sovereign God whose time is perfect, whose ways are perfect. Hallelujah.
Yes.
who does all things decent and in order. And he does all things, like I said earlier, for our good.
Yes, yes, he does.
So we don't have to panic when you hear that there's a food shortage. Oh, there's a this shortage. Oh, there's a that shortage. You know what? All of that is, and I'm sure that Apostle, and we're going to let Reverend Lori come in too. All that is a plan from the devil. It's a device from the devil to stir up chaos, to cause fear, to cause panic, to cause division.
Yes.
That's all that is.
Yes. That's right.
All that is.
That's right.
And we as Christians, go ahead, Mother Apostle, come on in.
Oh, I was just going to say, we must keep the faith until the end.
Yes.
I believe this is our charge, you know,
that
we continue keep believing God, you
know,
because the Bible tells us that that signs and wonders
shall
follow us if we believe.
Yes.
And so we just must maintain our faith until the end.
Amen.
Until the end.
Amen.
Yes.
I tell
because
you,
we already
it doesn't
know
matter
who God is.
Yes, and you know what? It doesn't matter how impossible the situation may look or the situation may seem. Case
That's
in point,
right.
I was fellowshipping with Apostle Zeta, and we prayed a prayer. We prayed a prayer because my heart, although I'm going to be obedient to God, I truly want to live back in California. But I now live in Missouri. But since I prayed that prayer, God has made a way. He has made a way. He is making a way. He's working it out. I was told that I was going to be able to qualify for some housing assistance and that I could move that housing assistance to California in a year. And today, a dear friend that I've met since I've been here came and got me and took me over and put me on a waiting list for housing in California.
Glory.
You see,
glory,
now
glory.
If I was just somebody that wasn't a person of faith, I said, oh, this will never happen. You know, I left California because the cost of living was too high, and I'll never be able to live in California again. Oh, but God.
God
makes the impossible possible.
Possible.
If you just trust and continue to believe and continue to declare. See, we've got to speak life over ourselves. If we are children of light, let us walk in the light. If we are children of the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us be about our Father's business. Right now, instead of Christians going in the store and snatching all the toilet paper, we ought to be displaying those fruit of the Spirit. You know, love, kindness, joy.
Amen.
You know, we ought to be experiencing, we ought to be exercising that fruit called long-suffering.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We ought to be exercising our faith muscle and saying, you know what, we tell everybody we know, yes, things are bad, but we serve an awesome God.
All right.
You know, we need to be asking people, do you know Jesus? Do you have a relationship with Jesus?
Yes.
Because he is our only hope. Instead of us saying there's no hope, we should be telling everybody, oh, yes, there's hope. And that hope is in Christ Jesus.
Yes,
there is victory. And that victory is in Christ Jesus. Oh, yes, we will make, we will be provided for because God is a way maker. You know, I can have that, you know, I will get a job when others are, when companies are laying off because God provides for his own.
You
know. You might, you know, have the housing market might be crashing, but you can still get your house sold or you can still buy that house. That's all God.
Amen.
That's all God.
Amen. That's right.
That's all God. So, you know, we just have to know that he is still in control. We have to sometimes just be still and know that he is God.
Yes.
You know, instead of running all around, making all this noise, you know, and since COVID, a lot of people, I understand, you know, now that they could, you know, sit at home and not don't have to gather together for church, you know, most people have gotten complacent. They've gotten lazy. You know, they don't want to go out they don't want to go out and gather together, even at a safe distance. They just don't want to go to church at all. They would rather sit around in their PJs on Sunday and maybe listen to a podcast or maybe watch it on TV or maybe, you know, Zoom, you know. But are we really giving God our best when we do that?
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. There's another little thing that we need to think about. And I used the crucifixion as an example for this. You know, when we as Christians live as though we don't have hope, do you know what we do? We crucify Christ all over again. Yes. We deny him. Just like Peter did, when we're not out being about his business, we are denying his power. We are denying his sovereignty. We are denying his omnipotence. We are denying that he is omniscient. We are denying that he is omnipresent. When we live as though we are hopeless, when we live in fear, we are denying Christ. And when we don't go out and continue to do what he has told us to do, then in essence we are crucifying our Lord and Savior all over again.
Yes.
We need to think about that. We need to think about that. But anyway, Mother Apostle, if you have any more words or if Reverend Lori would like to have a word, you are more than welcome. Hallelujah. I just wanted to get that in. Look, that you got good to me. I'm sorry.
I'm ready to hear Reverend Lori.
All right. Come on in the room, Reverend Lori. Is she with us?
I thought so. I wonder if she's I have mute on.
I don't see her, so it's okay.
Okay.
But you know what?
Okay.
Anyway, we're going to go on.
Her number is 510-228.
No, she's not here.
Okay.
She's not here. So she must have had to drop. She must have had to run. But
she
all of that aside.
Because
yes,
I kind of let her know kind
of
last minute. Yeah.
Yeah, that's all right. But, you know, like I said, God is still in control. And he's still making a way for us. He's still providing for us, because no matter what changes we see in the world, like I said earlier, God does not change. He will always. He does not change. So if the conditions change, he does not. When the government changes, he does not. When, when the economy changes, he does not.
That's right.
So no matter what we see going on, just remember that the world may change, but God does not. I just pray that you have heard something tonight that has truly blessed your soul. Apostle Zeta, if you would like to give us the honor and do the final remarks about God being in control, I will take your final remarks, and then we will close the program. Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, as we said before, God is God, and he always will be, and he is the controller of all things. Everybody and everything, he's in control of it. And so that's why I trust him. I have experienced many things. As I said before, gone through many things. I've had people that were against me and all of that. But nevertheless, God has showed me his favor, and he has definitely showed me his love. And I know that his grace is sufficient.
Yeah.
He God proves his word.
Yes,
you know,
yeah.
We can depend on it. And I'm just thankful for this sharing because I know that many people need to hear it. Because some, you know, when things are happening and they, especially things that we're unprepared for, a lot of
yes,
times people will lose faith.
Yeah.
And we have to hold on and know who we're trusting. You know,
yes.
we're trusting a God that can do anything. You know.
That's right.
And
amen.
With him, all things are possible. We have to remember that. We have to, you know, really remember that. So no matter what's going on, no matter, as you said earlier, no matter how situations look or circumstances look, you know, God can fix it. He can
Amen.
Change it. He can heal it. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And he
Amen.
Also
Hallelujah.
Still moves miraculously. He's a miracle-working
yes, he
God. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen.
So it behooves us to trust him. Amen.
Yes. Amen. Thank you, Mother Apostle Zeta Flowers. I appreciate your sharing today, tonight with me. Thank you for coming on, and I can always depend on you to be faithful and to add
yes, you can,
add substance to the program and make it richer. I thank you. I praise God for you. I am so glad that God is still in control and he was
yes.
there with you as the enemy tried to come against
yes.
you. And
yes.
he was there
yes.
and he had
yes.
been his angels to minister to you. And
yes.
so I just praise
yes.
God that he is still in control in your life. He is still in control in my
yes.
life. And we
yes.
pray that he will always be in control of your life because he is
yes.
still in control.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, he is.
You have been listening to
yes.
Taking It to the Streets with Bishop Shalene Cook and Apostle Zeta Flowers. We pray that you heard something that truly encouraged you, edified you, hallelujah, equipped you, and prepared you to live a more abundant life in Jesus Christ right now. We pray that you will
yes.
continue to walk with us here on the Spirit Alive Network throughout the week. On tomorrow, please join Pastor Lester Carver for Tuesday teachings at 11 p.m.
Yes.
Eastern Standard Time. And then on Wednesday, tune in again. Mark your calendars and join Apostle Zeta Flowers for All Nations Wednesday night Bible study. I'm telling you, saints of God, Apostle Zeta does a beautiful job with her Bible study. She teaches precept upon precept. She leaves no stone unturned. So if you really want to go deeper in God's word, join Apostle Zeta Flowers. I'm telling you, for the Wednesday night by All Nations Wednesday night Bible study every first and third Wednesday of the month. Amen. So we just want
yes.
you to know that we love you. We're praying for you. And we pray that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And from our household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, everyone, and God bless you. From all of us here
Amen.
At the Spirit Alive Network. Thank you, Mother Apostle. I love you. God
yes,
bless you, everyone. Good night.
Thank you as well. Good night.
Amen. Good night.
Amen.